Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the UBS Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity research analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's market. This is John Windham. I'll be your host today. I head up U.S. Clean Energy and Environmental Services Equity Research here for UBS in North America. Very happy to have with us here today a person I've got to know pretty well over the last 12 months and have become a huge admirer of his work. That is Tim Bush, who's our APAC battery and materials analyst. In this episode, we're going to talk about battery energy storage systems and what I would consider maybe one of the most important thematic things going on in the market. This conversation is based on a report that was really developed in the context of doing a quote-unquote battery teardown. So maybe, Tim, we could get started. Could you briefly explain to the audience what a UBS teardown means, why we conduct them, and how this particular piece of research fits into the teardown findings?
Sure, John. Thanks. Yeah, UBS has been tearing down batteries since 2018, every 2 to 3 years. At each point in the market, we get to a debate on battery technology. This year, it's about regional cost differences. So how much it costs to make a battery in Europe and the US relative to China, and also extending our findings over to storage, energy storage. Generally, a teardown is disassembling the battery. We use a third party. We look at what materials are going into the battery, how much of them, and the technology, with the goal of costing and understanding the direction of future technology.
Thanks, Tim. Just a heads up to the people listening to the podcast. There is actually an earlier episode of this podcast on our channel that takes a deeper dive into the teardown itself. So if you're interested to learn more on the teardown specifically, we encourage you to check that out. All right. Tim, you had a big Q series out. The title of the report, and maybe the first question, is what is driving the surge in global battery energy storage demand right now?
I think that it's a combination of battery storage right now in a number of markets, particularly the U.S., has the lowest unit CapEx, and it has the shortest lead time to deployment. And when we combine that with emerging data center demand and electricity or electrons being the bottleneck to bringing data centers online, it has kind of led to a perfect storm where storage is the cheapest alternative, and it's the fastest to bring online. So it's become integral in bringing data centers online.
I wonder if you talk a little bit about how that decline in battery prices has impacted the economics of storage development.
Yeah, I think now we're in a situation where with the decline in battery costs and system costs that we've seen over the past couple of years, we're firmly in double digit internal rate of return territory in most geographies. It's definitely the case for the U.S., where there's sizable subsidies in the form of an investment tax credit, but it's also the case in Europe, where we have had a lot of renewables come onto the grid in various geographies, and that leads to intermittent power supply. So we can have low power prices and oversupply during daylight hours. And then when the sun sets, pricing becomes tight. And batteries are a perfect, in terms of a revenue model, they can charge when prices are low and energy is abundant in the daytime, and then discharge in the evening when prices are high. And in fact, that is a big part of the revenue model for battery storage, basically arbitraging peak trough spreads.
One of the things I learned early in my career from a portfolio manager I used to work for is he'd always talk about, we're looking for the intersection of large thematics. And with batteries right now, you have battery costs hitting an inflection point in price and cost, just as attention to national security, focus on reliability, particularly electricity load growth reliability for data centers, is taking off. How do you see these two trends and the battery storage industry sitting at the intersection of the both of them?
I think in terms of, you know, what we're seeing in terms of demand stimulus because of energy security concerns has immediately translated into more electric vehicle sales across a number of regions, particularly in Europe. You have higher fuel prices and, paying a higher price at the pump makes the relative economics of an EV more attractive. And we're seeing upside to demand today because of these issues. In the case of energy storage, the deployment times are much longer, right? So, you know, if we decide because of these energy security issues that we're going to initiate a project, that's not actually going to come online for 18 to 24 months. So certainly we're seeing the announcement of more projects, but more importantly, this energy security situation has created an impetus to change policy to make it easier for storage to come online. So there are certain bottlenecks from a policy perspective, things like how interconnection is managed. And we're seeing countries become more proactive in changing policy to make it easier for renewables and storage to come onto the grid.
The focus on national security has led to a lot of policy in the United States to support domestic battery manufacturing. And I think this creates a lot of questions for or uncertainty for investors to as they sort of think through it. On the one hand, you have China's cost leadership, as well as emerging alternatives to lithium ion. How should investors think about this China price and China cost competitiveness against the ramping U.S. battery manufacturing supplied? Any key beneficiaries or implications for customers you'd highlight?
That's a great question. I mean, China has absolute, part of the teardown. This teardown was about regional cost differences, and making a battery in U.S. and Europe is 30% or more expensive than making them in China. So China is the lowest cost option. But I think when it comes to a battery, this is about energy. I think the question now is, what does the rest of the world do? How feasible is it for China to be the only source of battery supply? Because that's creating a new dependency. So in the case of Europe, they've proposed something called the Industrial Accelerator Act. And this would also tie subsidies to local content. But of course, that's early days. It's a proposal and could be 18 to 24 months before we see that become, enactment. So I think right now the clear beneficiary is China. They're effectively, dominating, their domestic market, which is by far the largest market in the world for storage and EVs. And, exports are surging to the rest of the world. So their share is rising. In the case of the U.S., where we are decoupling, the Korean and Japanese are the beneficiaries. And Europe is, let's call it a debate. I think there is a desire from some level of supply diversification. And the Korean and the Japanese are the answer to supply diversification away from China.
All right. My last question, because I think we have to talk about AI data centers on pretty much every call. How do you think about that growth in demand hitting cheaper battery prices? And is that reshaping the long-term demand case for storage and renewables?
Thanks, John. It's, I think in the U.S., we know that, in terms of electricity demand growth, data centers are accounting for about 2/3 of incremental demand growth to the end of the decade. And in places like Europe or the UK, where energy demand peaked in 2004, data centers, or even Japan, where, you know, obviously with population decline, energy demand has been falling, all of a sudden you're seeing this kind of new source of meaningful demand that is causing a rethink, because we're going from this thinking of, you know, demand decline to demand growth. And in addition to that, the data centers have made 100% renewable commitments, and that, you know, putting that together, a lot of that demand growth, or a big piece of it anyway, is going to be met with renewables. I think the final point is that this has happened so quickly that we're kind of lagging on a supply response. So things like, you know, combined cycle gas turbines are having very long lead times. And so if you're a data center that, you know, wants to get online today, you don't have the luxury to wait, you know, 5 to 8 years for certain generation options to become available. In addition to that, I mentioned about interconnection earlier, and you may not want to wait for interconnection either, which means you start thinking about microgrids, that is kind of building your own power plant to get your data center running as early as possible. So when you put it together, you have onshore availability of batteries that are heavily subsidized, that have the lowest unit CapEx and the shortest lead time, which is really what is driving. This is the factors that's driving the surge in energy storage demand that we've been talking about.
Tim, what should investors walk away with?
I mean, I think we need to kind of get away from, you know, thinking about certain, you know, that, you know, this is a climate change story. I think in the end, we need electrons. There are no good or bad electrons. And so if in the case of a data center, if solar or storage makes the most sense or allows data centers to get online the fastest, then those are the best electrons for that situation. So we really kind of, you know, need to think about the economics. And then the second thought, as we, you know, consider about US scaling all of this battery capacity, the next debate is going to be where we get all the materials to feed this capacity. And so the next phase of the debate is where do we get all the materials to feed these battery capacities, and who makes them? You know, do we end up seeing the emergence of a China-free supply chain, or are we going to be content with the current situation of largely relying on the overseas subsidiaries of Chinese entities?
Tim Bush, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for the insights. Always enjoy our conversations and look forward to having many more of them as UBS continues to sort of evolve and deepen our thinking on what, in my opinion, is the most important thematic in U.S. electricity going on today. So with that, to the audience, thank you for visiting the UBS Research Pod Hub. If you've enjoyed this episode, please tune in again and share this episode with a friend or a colleague. Be well. Be well, everyone.
Thanks, John. Thanks, everyone.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries and/or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation, nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content and has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction, where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept liability over any such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. Copyright UBS 2026. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.